Good day, Brendan.
Good evening, Mr. Meridian.
The Not a Thing podcast back for number 115. It's election day, or it was. I guess the polls closed in California anyway, just recently. I think it's still, they're still open in Hawaii. So we have like a little bit of time for it to still be election day.
I only work off of Pacific time. I don't acknowledge that other times exist.
Well, how do you feel about standard time coming back?
I think the whole concept of daylight savings time is absurd. It's mass hysteria.
I do like having, in the summer, having the sun out at like 9, that's kind of nice. But
if only we had a planet with a different axial tilt. I want that all the time. I want the sun out late. This getting dark at 5 o'clock bullshit.
Yeah, here. It gets dark way too early, and it's no fun during the commute driving back at night. It feels so much later because it's dark. And B, I have to be so much more vigilant because it's dark. I don't see like reflections in cars and stuff as much. I guess the upside is everyone has their lights on, so it's a little more obvious where cars are. But then the downside is the car behind me has its lights like on like super high bright mode, and it doesn't matter how I have my mirror, my eyes are destroyed.
Thanks, farmers. And also, thanks, farmers. I like your stuff.
Well, there was some kind of news this week about not exactly farming, but the products of farming being passed on to people in a couple different ways. So there was a member of parliament in New Zealand talking about how one of the ways that they should cure or work with the Ebola crisis is to send homeopathic stuff to as many patients of Ebola as possible in order to make them better. And yeah, I think we're going to take the stand that is not a thing.
And we aren't the only ones saying it's not a thing. This guy was stripped of his post as part of the natural health portfolio group in the New Zealand government.
Yeah, that's... I don't know. I think you can have homeopathic things to make you feel better, but in terms of curing infectious disease, medical technology has come a long way and probably needs to go a little further. I know that there was some agreement recently by a few kind of big pharma companies saying that they would rise to the call should production of like a vaccine or some other kind of palliative thing, you know, come up for Ebola. But it's still not in a super great state. Not so much in the United States. It seems like in the United States we have like the appropriate level of panic has been reached. In some cases, it's a little more than it needs to be, but at the same time, I think, we should probably be focusing on the sources of disease and really trying to figure that out. But in the meantime, fixing it with, tea and whatever else. What counts as homeopathy for these folks? Do you know?
I'm pretty sure it's anything that's bullshit. I don't know. Scents and oils.
Yes.
And...
yes, it's always essential oils. That's the one that I've heard. Like, oh, if only I could have some grapeseed oil right now. I'll take an Advil. The psychosomatic kind of nature of taking an Advil is better. It actually, you know, does affect a fair amount of my body chemistry, so I know it does something. Whereas I feel like, you know, whatever oils or things or, you know, different candles, it's not, yeah, no.
I feel like if our government took the same evidence-based approach that they apparently are in New Zealand, we would have had a better turnout tonight.
Yeah.
Because I've seen so many clips of Republican senators and congressmen saying the stupidest non-scientific things, and they're still in office.
Yeah.
They can't answer basic science questions.
Yeah. I think it's always a trouble at the midterm elections because it's not, I mean, it literally is not the big ticket one, right? So the higher profile kind of presidential races and things are not necessarily determined in the midterm. They're not determined in the midterm ones because that's why they're the midterm ones. But, as seemingly shown this time around, it looks like control of the Senate anyway is going to flip-flop because of the I don't know. It'd be interesting to see. I'm sure someone will do analysis later about, you know, the relationship between voter turnout and these kinds of things. But, you know, until then, I'm a fan of voting. Vote early.
Vote often.
You know, try and do that as right as you can. Through kind of a weird set of circumstances, I'm a permanent absentee voter. So I actually do all of my voting pretty early and get it out of the way usually. This year, I ended up waiting until Sunday to really take a crank at the full ballot. I had kind of filled in some of the easier ones.
Isn't that dangerous, turning it in early? What if it comes out the night before the election that the candidate you voted for is a cannibal or something?
I guess it's possible. What would you do? I guess it's possible that those votes would have to be. I don't know. You don't invalidate them or anything. But I actually don't turn it in until election day. I still walk into my polling place or what would be my polling place, if my precinct got its act together and registered enough people. But the polling place just has the ballot drop off kind of bag, and so I fill everything out, stuff it in the envelope, and then push it into that slot. And in theory, I voted. I'm pretty sure in California they don't go to the absentee and provisional ballots, those kinds of things, unless or the general elections margin of, you know, the margin of victory would be statistically affected by those votes. So it's possible that I'm just, you know, kind of pushing them into a black hole, but I get my sticker, and that's the important thing.
And I'm just guessing here. I'm assuming I may be wrong that you voted for Jerry Brown.
That would be a good guess. And yes.
What would you do if it turned out that he hunted men for sport? Would you own that as a voter? Like, yeah, that's my candidate. Or would you just distance yourself from him?
Would I repudiate that? If would I try and, you know, run in and tear up my ballot before anyone could read it? I don't know. I think I like to think that you know, the California recall system would work in that case. I mean, if they could recall Gray Davis over whatever they recalled him for, they could probably get their act together to recall Jerry Brown for hunting the most dangerous game.
I think that would make a good short story. Like the tale of a man who voted for somebody and then found out, you know, turned it in early and then found out a horrible thing and then being the only person who voted for that person.
Maybe a short story, but not a novel.
Not a novel, no.
Not a novel.
That's a short one.
I just want to make it clear, neither of us are doing NaNoWriMo this year.
No, not at all. Not even going to waste your time or mine. That ship has sailed.
Yeah, that was kind of a rough November the last time.
But to those of you out there doing it, more power to you.
Yeah, here, here.
Keep up the good fight. You're a better person than I.
I as well. But in terms of people keeping up the good fight, there was an election result that we heard about already out of Guam that they are voting to legalize for medical purposes, marijuana. And so it's the first U.S. territory to legalize marijuana for any kind of use. And it joins, I think it's 23 states that have already put some kind of rule on the books about medical marijuana or recreational for that matter. I think people are wising up to kind of the stuff coming out of Colorado. I don't know if it's necessarily a softening on the position of marijuana as a drug so much as it is the missing of potential tax revenues that are generated out of that state.
Well, good job, Guam. You're making a great impression. You know, if you want to ever be a state, that's a good, you know, everybody likes the person who brings weed to a party.
Yeah, I think it's one of those interesting public opinion shifts that's kind of, you know, it's definitely moved slowly and then it's going to move quickly kind of a thing.
I feel like California dropped the ball last time.
Seriously.
We could have been a front runner.
Yeah.
Because it's going to happen. There's no way it can happen in 23 or two other states at this point, but it's a rolling tide.
Yeah.
Rolling tide.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's similarly to the wave of states that are kind of allowing gay people to marry. You don't want to be like the last ones on that train. You don't want to be that like, oh, this is the holdout state.
Hey, let's go to that state where gay people can't marry each other and you can't get high. Your tourism will plummet.
Well, I'm sure, you know, they'll have some draw. I don't know. California has a couple things going for it, but you know, they got to work on it. Got to work on it.
If only younger people voted more. We give old people too much power. And I'm including you with us, Alan, on the young side.
Thanks, man. Thanks. Do you remember the first election you voted in?
I do. It was 2004.
Okay.
I threw my vote away voting for John Kerry. I was so mad. It's my first election. I can kick that idiot out of office. Oh, wait. He won again. Damn it. Oh, what's that? I'm voting on a referendum to remove fluoridation from our water? Okay, hippies.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Yeah, I couldn't stop George Bush, but I could stop that.
Yeah, I guess mine would, that had to be 96. That was my first year at college. So that was a Bill Clinton year. Am I doing that right?
You have to win.
Is that math right? It should be.
That would be a year Clinton was elected, yes.
Yeah. That was some good times. Oh man. And then thus started my my descent into jury duty hell for that, because I registered in San Luis Obispo County for, you know, because that's where I went to college. And I would, I guess, you know, it automatically registered me there for jury duty roles. And so what I did was I said, oh no, I live in San Francisco, because that's where my parents, or Daly City, because that's where my parents live, and got out of jury duty down there. And then when I would get jury duty calls in San Mateo County, I would say, oh no, I'm in San Luis Obispo going to college. And so I was able to successfully avoid jury duty at least 3 times during that span of time. I've still never been called into the courtroom. I did have to go to the courthouse and wait in the waiting room, but I've always been dismissed before being called into the courtroom for jury duty. So we'll see about that one.
I've never even made it that far. I haven't gotten to try out the Princess Leia outfit to get rejected from the jury. Props to Tina Fey.
Yeah.
That was all her.
Yeah. I think as civic duty goes, voting is kind of a lower bar to cross than jury duty. I would like to do jury duty, you know, since getting out of, you know, getting a little more involved in kind of, you know, the world and stuff. It does sound like something I probably should do. Whereas voting, it's like, of course I'm going to vote. I vote every election. I do all that kind of.
Yeah, so do I.
It's good.
I totally didn't miss the last election.
Good. Great. I'm glad to hear it.
Totally. Actually, no. I'll say it now. I didn't vote for Obama the second time. I voted in the good tenure.
The good. Well, in any case,
that's not saying I voted for Romney, because I just didn't vote.
Yeah. It's all right. The math bore out that year. It was okay.
I figured California had me covered.
And now, thanks to Obama, California has you covered.
Yeah, that's true. Actually, my boss has me covered. Thanks, boss.
Well, hopefully none of the stuff that's none of the information that's covered by California is going to be covered by your TV as well. There was kind of a somewhat disturbing and alarmist story that I found that was about a TV that supposedly has a 46-page privacy policy. And you're like, why does a TV have a privacy policy? And there's all sorts of features about it that that are built in. This article is a little suspect because it never names the TV. It might just be a hypothetical TV that if you allow all of these features to be enabled, it would have this problem. But most of these things sound like real things that are, you know, embedded in TVs currently. So it, in theory, is a smart TV, so it's connected to the internet, so you can get all of your streaming services. But because it's connected to the internet, it can potentially upload data pretty much whenever it wants. And it can keep track of things like channels you watch, when you watch. It has audio and video features, so it can detect who's in front of the TV, so it can take direction from you to, like, change the channel or whatever. But then that means it can also tell who you are and what you're watching and when you're watching it, and, you know, marry that data and then upload it. And it's, you know, it's everything bad about the leaky privacy and big data that's kind of distilled into something innocuous like a TV. I think it's kind of a crummy story, in that it does seem to be there just to kind of generate hits and be alarmist, but at the same time, I hope it is generating a little bit of conversation. I mean, it certainly generated a podcast topic. But what do you think, Brennan? Do you think that kind of stuff is coordinated enough to be done?
I don't know why would you even do that? I don't get it.
Why would you buy a TV like that, or
why would you buy that TV? Is a remote that hard to use? Is that technology really so outdated?
Yeah. Well, what if it's like the new Xbox? And I think even the new PlayStation does this, where it does have kind of a standby mode that is voice activated. And then if you have a Kinect, it's essentially watching all the time. I think the new Xbox 360 Kinect, Xbox One Kinect, doesn't ever turn off. Like, there's no way to turn it off. It's always in standby mode, so it can always hear you and wake the Xbox up.
It's like the Santa Claus of consoles.
I was just going to go straight for Big Brother, but... but yeah, I think you're right. I think if this is a thing specific to this TV and being sold as a feature, it's probably not going to go. But it does seem like the kind of thing that they would want to build into TVs. Probably not to collect the data that I'm most worried about invasion of privacy kind of levels of things. I'm sure they want it for, changing channels and everything else. My concern is when the NSA decides to backdoor into this TV and see and hear everything that you do.
Well, there's a quote from David Petraeus, who is the head of the CIA, saying, we'll spy on you through your dishwasher.
Yikes. Yeah, yeah.
The FBI will not have to bug your living room. You will do it yourself.
Right.
They're telling us straight up. This is what we'll do. And people will ignore it and still purchase it.
Yeah. So that's what we're trying to say. Be more mindful of your TVs. I think smart TVs are a thing. I think having too many sensors is not a thing. There's certainly a lot of sensor data that can be gathered kind of implicitly from that. I actually think that your TV should be pretty dumb. I like having kind of separate sources for things. So like my TV comes in from Dish, but my internet stuff, if I'm watching anything over the internet, it comes in through either my PS3 or my Apple TV. And I guess in the aggregate you could collect all of that data, but no one source is gonna have everything. That's not even a paranoia thing, unfortunately. That's just because Apple TV won't show Amazon, so I have to go to my PS3 in order to see my Amazon Prime streaming. That's a whole other problem about internet services being so disjoint. But I think joining them is not necessarily a bad thing. Having that, for convenience's sake anyway, that seems to be kind of a plus. I think there is the attempt to make things too easy for consumers. And I think, recording sound kind of implicitly and video implicitly in order to make things easy is really creepy. So, yeah, I'm going to vote not a thing on that one.
Not a thing. It is decided.
Kind of, so in our kind of decision-making, we're reasonably kind of in agreement for most things. So I don't think, but we are only two voices. We're not like kind of leaders of a country say, which would just by fiat decide to call for a ban on things just because they sounded like illegal drugs, which let me back all the way up and say that
Take a long walk back, Alan.
Let's walk that one back. That transition didn't work so well. So the UAE, United Arab Emirates, an official from there is calling for a ban on binaural beats. Now, binaural beats, and we can leave a sample of something in the show notes, but binaural beats, he's saying that binaural beats are similar, he lumps them in the same category as cocaine and marijuana in terms of danger to society in the UAE. And I think, one, cocaine and marijuana are two very different things. We had it earlier in the show that, marijuana is being kind of more widely accepted as at least in some places recreationally and in some places just for medical use. But binaural beats is kind of an interesting topic. It's producing two sounds in headphones. You have to wear headphones to do this, because what it does is you send sound to both sides, but they are off by a phase, like a phase of a wave. And that wave is when your brain hears both sides, it reconciles the thing that's off into a kind of a third sound wave that is only in your head. And it's an interesting kind of setup, but it's, in theory, you're supposed to, people are supposed to choose binaural beats that match your brain's frequencies for alpha waves or beta waves or theta waves or whatever the brain wave would be, in order to increase focus or decrease certain things. And some people have said, have gone so far as to say that it will, you can do things like increase like certain hormone production, like serotonin, or in one that I saw was human growth hormone, which is, I think we're bordering on homeopathic, maybe just a little bit. Although there have been studies saying that your body will react a little bit to binaural beats in certain circumstances, but it's probably not enough to cause very, very specific outcomes as that. But the official is claiming that people are having like seizures or having kind of drug like highs and effects from binaural beats. And
to be fair to him, he is a police scientist. So I think we can classify this in our Fuck the Police segment today. He's the deputy director of the Police Sciences Academy in Sharjah.
Sciences Academy? Is that like...
CSI. This is UAE CSI. These headphones are getting these kids high.
And then he takes his sunglasses off.
Yeah! This guy's just lucky he doesn't work in New Zealand. They would have demoted him. Science fact, please get out.
Yeah, it is a like I said, it's an interesting kind of set of things. I've seen some guided meditation apps, and they're all based around this kind of thing, where there's a the binaural beats wave that you get, the internally produced wave, supposedly will is meant to match the brainwave patterns as you go kind of deeper into towards sleep and relaxation. And I can see that as possibly being interesting, but certainly not something that would I would classify as like a cocaine-like high or even honestly a marijuana-like high. I think I listened to a Binaural Beats recording for about 20 minutes and pretty much just the only feeling I had was my ears hurt because I didn't have like really good headphones on at the time. But we'll include a sample if we can, if I can find one. It'd be kind of cool. You know, if you're listening to it in the UAE, you can think of us as, you know, your source. If it ever does get banned, send us some cash. You know, support the podcast. We're you know, first one's free. No, actually,
Flat Earth.
The first 115 have been free. But yeah, if you look in the show notes, I'll definitely link something in there for the Binaural Beats. But kind of moving to another interesting story about the brain. There's a book out, in the synopsis there was some interesting stuff about how your brain, my brain for that matter, deals with rewards, and I thought it was a really interesting thing. There's a well-known study about these rats that they wired up to the pleasure center of their brain, so if they run and like step on a lever, it would stimulate that center of the brain. And they were just kind of checking out to find what they could find, and they essentially stumbled on the pleasure center of the brain. And it is apparently enough that it would override, you know, the lab mice's normal kinds of aversion to things. So they would walk over an electric grid to step on that button. They would push that button even though it didn't mean anything, just because in the past it had. And they supposedly did this with people as well, and the article says that they had to like forcibly remove the pleasure sensor stimulating devices from the participants, which I think is kind of funny and messed up, which probably means that it occurred before they started imposing, like, you know, ethical standards for for these kinds of tests. But one interesting thing from the story was that as technology has gone, they're able to do more monitoring of how things work. And one of the things was that in the process of obtaining a reward, because it's a kind of reward and brainwave cycle, they were looking at when the blood flow increased in the area of the pleasure center of the brain. And it wasn't actually when the person received the reward, it was the anticipation of receiving the award, which I thought was really interesting, because it's like your body is prepping itself to receive like the you know, whatever that reward is, whether that's, you know, getting something like a physical thing, or, you know, they mentioned, I saw this article linked from a gaming article and saying like why you know, people play just one more level, and it was really interesting to me, because it's like there's more in the lead up to the thing than the actual thing itself. Like so it really is like the journey is more important to your body than the actual reward.
I can attest to that. I was playing Call of Duty right before we started recording, and there was a half second in my brain where I thought, well, I just need one more level. But we had a time we were supposed to record.
Well, thank you for getting on the show in that case.
I was really close to leveling up, Alan. I just need to kill a few more people.
How is the
I prestiged this week.
Oh, nice. Or this is the Advanced Warfare?
Oh, no. I'm still playing Black Ops 2.
Oh, okay.
I accidentally renewed my... or actually, Microsoft accidentally renewed my gold membership. I forgot that it was on auto-renew.
Nice.
And so I decided I'm going to make use of it since I paid a stupid amount of money for it.
Might as well. Well, I think it definitely is something that I've felt very specifically with gaming, but I think there is something in that because I've noticed that with driving too, where it's just like, oh, it's just one more exit. I'll just drive a little further. It'll be okay. Just one more exit. You know, and then before you're like, oh my God, I got to pull over and like pee. So I think there is also kind of a comfort in doing something, even if it's repetitive, and I think that's also kind of a hook mentally. It's more of like an inertia based thing than I'm trying to get to something kind of thing. It looks like it could be a good book. If I unfortunately I don't remember the actual name because I didn't write it down. So they have to work on their marketing a little bit, but
it's called Hooked.
Oh, is it? Perfect. Okay, well, that looks like one that I will probably pick up because it does sound interesting. I love hearing about how people think we tick, because I don't know. It's just a fascinating way. It's like metagaming your own head.
Exactly.
Yes, exactly. But another kind of interesting thing, still in the kind of medical the vein, is a some technology out of, I think it's Australia, that of a vein mapper. And this is something that phlebotomists, or people who study kind of blood and how that works in the body, are putting together, where an infrared camera can read the veins in your skin, and it does this by reading like the reflectivity of the deoxygenated blood to whatever they're using. I believe it is infrared, but it's an interesting kind of thing. And this was actually brought to my attention by my wife, who's a friend of the podcast kind of by default, but she actually does like the podcast. She's been on a few times, but her thing is that doctors have a lot of trouble finding her veins for whatever reason. I mean, there's I don't know, she tells me these horror stories of how like they will have to poke the needle like 3 or 4 times before they actually get it right, and that sucks. I actually have no concept of that, because every time I've given blood or had to do any kind of work for give a sample or anything like that, the phlebotomist is no problem locating the vein and going, which pretty much only tells me that it's probably good that I don't have an addictive personality, because I'm like the prime candidate for an intravenous drug user. Never miss. It never misses. But yeah, I think it's an interesting technology in that it will not only find out where the veins are, but instead of displaying it on a screen, the example I've seen is they actually paint the veins in over the person, over the patient's arm, using lasers. So, I mean, everything is awesome about this, right? They find your veins, so you only get stuck once, and they use lasers. This is 100% a thing.
Oh, definitely. Vampires are going to love it.
Well, I think it it fits in that realm of augmented reality, which I've always kind of professed is going to be, that's probably going to be a thing before virtual reality is a thing. Everyone wants virtual reality, but I think augmented reality is quietly catching up in a lot of different places. So, was there any, let's see. Well, there hasn't been a lot of augmented reality stuff in the news recently, I feel like.
No, but anything there's been, I'm sure we've covered it on the show.
Cool. Well, I think we're going to venture ever so trepidatiously into spoiler land soon. We've seen, or at least Brandon saw, a movie this weekend.
Yes, I would say we're not really going into spoiler territory at this point so much as Brendan's recommendation corner.
Yeah.
This weekend I saw the cinema masterpiece, The Expendables 3, which is everything you think it would be. It was not my favorite of the franchise, but I still think the second one is the best.
Okay.
As best as anything like that can be. I would say it's worth it just for Wesley Snipes and Antonio Banderas. Their characters are hilarious.
Okay.
Other than that, it's nothing special. You've seen one Expendables. You've seen all of the Expendables.
Yeah, I did see just one of them. I saw the first one, but I'm kind of bummed that the second one is better because I probably would have just watched that one if I had the choice. The first one was not great, shall we say.
I guess the only spoiler is the nice thing about these Expendables movies is they're totally shameless. So they'll have every character saying all their catchphrases. You'll get an Arnold getting the choppa. My favorite being they're supposed to take Mel Gibson's character, who's the bad guy, to The Hague to be judged. They're not supposed to kill him. They're supposed to take him to the court. And okay, now we are going into spoiler territory, but it's really not that big a deal. Don't worry about it. When he kills him, he's about to kill me. He says, "You can't kill me. You're supposed to take me to The Hague." And Stallone says, "I am The Hague."
What?
Straight out of Judge Dredd.
Yeah.
I am the law. Oh, it was worth it.
Ooh.
Just for that. Maybe just look it up on YouTube. You don't really need to watch the movie. It's not. It's longer than it needs to be.
Maybe that'll be a popcorn time viewing or something. I don't know.
Oh, that may have been where that came from.
Oh, well, I think we'll have more stuff to talk about next week. It's very likely. I'm more than likely seeing Interstellar this weekend. How about you?
I'm probably not going to see it this weekend, but the next weekend, so we may need to delay the discussion of that one.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll see. We'll see what we can do to make it work. I'll see what else is out. I'm sure something will catch my fancy. I've still not seen John Wick. So
I still need to see John Wick.
Yeah. I think I've not heard any buzz about it, which is probably not a good sign.
I've heard a ton of buzz about it. They're saying it's the best since The Matrix.
Oh, okay.
Since the TV commercials.
No.
And also everyone I know who's actually seen it.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes me feel a little better. Cool. All right. Well, I think this is a good show. This is a pretty good one.
And now it's over.
If you'd like to be on a show, pretty good or otherwise, it'd be pretty awesome. Let us know via the website, Twitter, Facebook. If you somehow are able to do it via Google+, I'd be impressed. But maybe not enough to actually put you on the show. You still have to be kind of cool, because Google+, we just don't use that. But if you do want to be on the show, let us know. If you would like to contribute to the podcast in any way, either being on the show or, heaven forbid, monetarily or via some other means, let us know. It'd be great. This show is produced out of the kindness of Brendan and my hearts. if you'd like to be a part of that, we would find it very enjoyable.
Yes, do it. Make it a thing.
You're here. Don't write your congressman. Don't write your congressman. Not in this case.
Yeah, you might send it to the wrong person. They might have gotten kicked out of office.
Yeah. Yeah.
One last shout out of respect to Tom Magliozzi, host of Flat Talk, who died this week.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was an inspiration to anybody who recorded in radio or podcasting.
Yeah.
So respect to him.
Cool, man. Brennan, I will talk to you next week.
Until next time, Alan.